From Knoxville, Tennessee, welcome to another action-packed hour, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it.
Welcome back to this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review, where this week we're talking Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 7 from March 14th, 1992. Doc, how's it going, man?
Oh, I'm awesome. As always.
You're awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so. You had a good week this week?
Every week is good. You know that.
Okay, I just thought I'd check. Just wanted to check on you. We appreciate you downloading this week's episode and checking out another episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review. So, Doc, we're back in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum Ballroom this week, which, what did you call this building?
The worst building on earth.
Well, I don't know about the worst building on earth. However, we got a very, very packed episode. We got some good stuff happening here.
I don't know what it is about this building. It just depresses the holy living shit out of me.
It's very depressing. I don't know what it is either, because it's well lit because of the lighting that they do have.
I think it's the color of the wall. It's this kind of like harvest yellow, light brown, just outdated.
I think that's what it is too. It's not actually the building; it's just the colors that we have here. So we're just gonna jump right into it. This week's episode, we got the first match, which is Hector Guerrero is up against a guy named TJ Travis. Here are the notes that I have from this match. Hector is so over that Travis, who is billed from Knoxville, Tennessee, which they're in Knoxville, Tennessee, the fans still boo him, which I felt that was a little weird, because back then I would, you know, when you announce somebody from that, you know, they're in their hometown, we'll cheer them. That's just how it was back then. But no, I mean, did you catch that, Doc?
Yeah, my note was maybe he owes them money.
Maybe he owes them money. We got a crisscross that started, and it ends with Hector slamming Travis to the mat. We got a nice little reversal of an arm drag from Hector. TJ gets frustrated and gives him a hard forearm. He tosses Hector over the top, but Hector skins the cat back in and uses a head scissors to fling Travis out to the floor.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You ever skin the cat back in your day?
Sure.
Do you need to explain skinning the cat to the folks?
Why don't you do it, since you had to stop me?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we get the privilege of your in-ring experience to help us all feel like we're in the ring as well. But unlike
you, I don't always feel like I have to get my own personal shit in.
I was trying to help you get your shit in. That's what partners do.
I don't need your help.
That's what partners do. I'm here to help you.
I don't need your help, asshole.
Okay, well then continue, please.
Okay. So anyway, we have a surfboard move by Guerrero while the commentary team discusses Ron Wright's promise that he'll have a big surprise later in the hour of this episode. So I have to point out, we got big news from Ron Wright coming out. And if you remember last week, Ron Wright was banned from ringside because he didn't have any contracted wrestlers. He had his manager's license, but no one was under contract. Dutch seems appalled by the last week's events. He is very upset that Bullet Bob Armstrong got into a yelling match with Ron Wright. And Armstrong rolled right off the set way too aggressively for Dutch's liking. Bob Cottle, who's a straight man here, doesn't have too much of a response to it, but says Bob Armstrong gently rolled Ron right away. Now, Doc, there was nothing gentle about how rapid and aggressive Bullet Bob Armstrong rolled out Ron Wright last week. Am I kidding here?
No,
I mean, we saw it.
He got him out of there, and Ron Wright sold it well.
Okay. Back to the match at hand. We got TJ Travis, who takes control, but he misses a knee drop from the second rope. And Hector gets an awful-looking dive as Travis stood up before he jumped, and he was way out of position to take the move. Hector had to find a way to adjust himself in midair, but he covered it well. So, and then we end the match with, as Dutch calls, the jalapeno pepper roll. To get the three count, the 1-2-3 on TJ Travis. Hector Guerrero for the win. Doc, you've watched this as we proceed. Does this really go anywhere with these two, or is this just kind of a TV match, fill a little time?
TV match, although I do think that the jalapeno roll is an impressive-looking move.
It really is. I mean, it really is, I must say. We go to – you got anything else from that match?
No, I think you did a great job, partner.
Oh, fuck you, too. We go to a Nitro Danny Davis promo, and he says, I'm not as big as most of the wrestlers, and I emphasize Nitro Danny Davis went straight for the R. There was no W. It was wrestlers, you know. I'm like a bottle of nitroglycerin. So he says he's ready to explode on all the competition in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and what's good for me is bad for you when he says that. Bro, I watched this promo, and I don't have anything against Danny Davis. Great trainer from everything that I know. I ain't buying this Nitro gimmick, though.
I was going to say the guy did a lot of work in OVW, starting OVW. I've heard him on podcasts. He's good to listen to, understands the business. Great guy in the business. My note here was meh.
That's exactly what I put as well. Exactly what I put as well. We then go to the Fantastics, who are cutting a promo. The Fantastics have signed the contract for their big six-man tag match against the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden, and they promise a surprise partner that everyone knows who he is. I wonder who that could be, Doc.
Do you know who it is?
But I won't mention any spoilers on this one. Okay. Boy, oh boy, Bobby Fulton's mullet is extra fluffy in this promo, fluffy. Is a note that I had. It is fluffy. It is a fluffy mullet.
Maybe he got a
call. I mean, he permed it or something.
Maybe he got a call earlier and said, boy, Bobby, we got a lot of rats down here tonight. Make sure your perm is extra fluffy.
Dude, that mullet is so fluffy. It's unreal. Pay attention to it when you watch the episode, everyone listening. So Bobby and Jackie call out the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden and say they'll get theirs next week when they are back from Japan. So, again, we got a six-man next week. They're building it up. They're announcing it this week. You know, and in today's environment, they talk about it at 7:15 on Raw, and by 9:30, they're completing whatever they were going to do for the night. But it didn't happen like that back then in the territory, so that was great. We go to Jimmy Golden and Ivan Koloff and Vladimir Koloff, and they're facing off against a couple of, I'll call them job guys, and it's not an insult to them, but we got them against Ben Jordan, Reno Riggins, and Rocky Patterson. Doc, I know you usually do a little research. You got any background on these guys? Well, I mean, Reno Riggins, we've seen him already, but Ben Jordan and maybe Patterson?
Yeah, I couldn't find much on Patterson. Ben Jordan was an enhancement guy in WWF around this time and also did some jobs in Global.
Huh. I don't watch Global. I just don't remember him. Okay. It's funny in this match because I'll call them Jordan, Riggins, and Patterson. They get a lot of offense, and you know Patterson gets an early advantage on Vladimir, and basically the guys who most people would deem as the jobbers, they take their turn working the arm. Bob Cottle speculates that Golden and the Koloffs thought of this match as a tune-up for next week because they seem to be taking these guys lightly, and they're showing up a little unprepared. Dutch and Bob start speculating about who the Fantastics will bring in for the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden next week. At that point, Jimmy Golden just basically mows down Riggins, but Riggins bounces right back up with a dropkick on then Ivan. Again, the jobbers, as we'll call them, they control the match. Commentary turns a little nasty at this point, as usual, as Dutch Mantel rattles off a list of every wrestler that Bob Caudle has referred to as quick, and ask if he knows any other word to describe wrestlers or wrestlers. And it's because Bob, during this match, is talking about how quick. Oh, look how quick that guy is. He's so quick, Dutch. Look at him. Dutch, he's quick. I must honestly say that Bob does overuse the term quick as it pertains to wrestlers. Would you agree, Doc?
Yeah, but I think the key is that they're setting up some ability to give something for Dutch to work off of. So they got – I mean, that's – part of the give and take between the two.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd ask you that. The match finally ends when Jimmy Golden levels Ben Jordan, hits him with a drop kick, and Ivan then finishes him off with the Russian sickle as he's tagged in. Pin on the match in 4 minutes and 9 seconds. Quick match. Again, just a little build because what it was the announcers had to set up the match with the Fantastics on next week's episode. With the surprise partner who's coming in. We got the Fultons and then their surprise partner. And then we got Jimmy Golden with Ivan and Vladimir Koloff on next week's show. Again, match that's filling a little time, setting things up. So we go directly then to a promo with the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden right after the match. And Golden does all of the talking, telling the Fantastics, which are the Fultons, really, at this point, they better be ready next week. He and the Koloffs are going to be waiting on them. They plan to do some good Southern smoke. They pan to the good Southern Smoky Mountain Wrestling fans or hillbillies as they boo the heels. And, Doc, are they not booing the heels at this point?
They know who to boo and who to cheer, and good Lord, man. Is it 1992 here?
It might be 1992, but God damn it, it feels like it's 82 the way these folks are booing
and dressed.
And I love it. And dressed. Stop insulting the good people of the Smoky Mountains, dude. I'm just kidding as I say say that they it might be 1982. I am by no means attempting to insult the great people of Tennessee. However, to our point that we're making here, there is heat here. And remember, they didn't really show any of this angle on last week's episode, if you recall. They didn't show this. They didn't talk about this at all, did they?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there's heat here in an hourly episode because the difference is it's an hour long and everything matters. We go to then they show a recap of the promo when Bob Armstrong bans Ron Wright, which I can never get enough of watching Bullet Bob with his tight nylon or polyester pants, his short sleeve shirt, and his non-pocket protector ripping Ron Wright a new one and rolling Ron Wright out of the studio, so to say. Ron Wright and Bob Armstrong's promo is flat out awesome. I think I'm just going to add it to the end of this episode, too, in case you missed it on last week's show. It's greatness, and it's the definition of Southern wrestling. We then go to our next Ron Wright promo, which, Doc, this is a magical moment, is it not?
Yeah, this one is, I mean, you know, you blew last week's episode and just talked about, you know, in last week's show how great the Ron Wright-Bob Armstrong interaction is. And it was. But we're building on the angle, and I think this one surpasses it.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, so we're building on Bob Caudle welcomes in Ron Wright to address what happened last week. As we just looked at Mr. Ron Wright's confrontation with Commissioner Bullet Bob Armstrong, it was a disgrace. Ron Wright goes into it. It was a disgrace when Armstrong came out and tried to assault Mr. Ron Wright. And Mr. Ron Wright is disappointed that Commissioner Armstrong wasn't a better man than that. He said that his ringside ban, my ringside ban, won't stay in effect long because I now have a wrestler to manage. And he's now got a man under contract, and he can now be at the ring. So you just keep your eyes open, Bob Caudle. Doc, how awesome is this exchange with Ron Wright? Watching it again with Bullet Bob and seeing Ron Wright and Bullet and Bob Caudle in this segment.
Once again, these two have a history that you and I aren't probably privy to or understand that goes back years and years and years. There's a chemistry between the two, and they both know how to work and elicit a response. So it is like watching two masters at work.
They are. They're really good.
And the other thing is that unlike the Corny's tag team, we don't have to wait long for this one to get paid off, as we do have Ron Wright, start to pay this off in the next match.
Well, I don't know. There is technically a long payoff because we're in episode 7 now, and Ron Wright's been here since the beginning. And if you draw it back to that, he's been saying since the beginning he was going to get a wrestler under contract.
I mean, we don't from here on. We know who the wrestler is next.
Oh, I got you. Okay. But it did take a while for him to get his contracted wrestler is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So without spoiling it, although I'll spoil it in a second, Ron Wright is at ringside, and he gives the ring announcer a signed contract where he wants the announcer to announce his new wrestler who is
– Hold on. Did you notice how crumpled up that piece of paper, the contract, was that he handed the ring announcer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked like it had gone through the ringer.
It looked like it had been through the washer and the dryer.
Yeah, washer multiple times. So he gives the ring announcer the contract and wants the ring announcer to announce who his new wrestler is. And there's a match that's about to happen with this new wrestler that Ron Wright has under contract. And the ring announcer says it's the Dirty White Boy. Dutch Mantel is gold at this point. Dutch is so moved by the idea that Ron Wright can finally get his surgery with all the money he'll make from the Dirty White Boy. Bob Cottle says, "What a coup for Ron Wright." Doc, boy, they were excited for Ron Wright, were they not?
Well, and I just, my note was here. I'm not sure the whole promotion could get together and afford a hip surgery for Ron Wright. So I'm not sure what Dirty White Boy is going to do by himself. But Dirty White Boy, as we talked a few weeks back with Brian last, is really good as a heel in his run in Smoky Mountain. This is his debut. And there's lots of good stuff we're going to be talking about in the weeks and months to come about Dirty White Boy. So yeah, this is again angle advancement that matters.
Bro, they sounded like Ron Wright had just signed JYD or Chris Adams in their prime.
Well, and to be fair, for guys like us, we were largely, I mean, I'd always heard the name Tony Anthony or the Dirty White Boy.
Right.
Later TL Hopper in WWE. Thanks a lot.
Oh,
please back to our September shows about top five mismanaged guys and maybe put him in there. But Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony was a big mainstay in that Tennessee, Alabama, Continental, Southeastern wrestling area. So we were probably coming up as familiar with him as the people in that area were. So he probably was.
Yeah, no, I'm Dirty White
a
Boy.
Bit
no disrespect.
Than we would, or, you know, would have thought initially.
Yeah, no disrespect to Dirty White Boy, but he, you know, it was so funny listening to Dutch and Bob sell it and how great he, you know, what a coup Ron Wright has with this one. That was to me the funny part of that. But anyway, so we go to the match. Now it's Dirty White Boy, and he is up against Ricky Nelson. Short match, only 3 minutes and 39 seconds. Dirty White Boy pounds away at Nelson, you know, clubbing him and headbutted him. Bob Cottle says he's showing complete disregard for his personal safety. I laugh because it was not that bad, but Bob Cottle, as the announcer, sold it certainly like it was. We get a power slam. He gets a two count on him. Ron Wright cheers, and he's happy with his signing. Dirty White Boy dedicates the move to his manager and respectfully calls him Mr. Ron Wright. Nelson throws a series of right hands that dazes Dirty White Boy, but there's an Irish whip here, and then he's finished off with a lariat clothesline from behind from the Dirty White Boy. To me, you know, the match, I'm talking about what Dirty White Boy is saying here. He's dedicating his moves during the match, as he respectfully calls him Mr. Wright. We go to the promo now, and this is I guess directly after. I think there was a commercial in the original version, but directly after the match, Bob Cottle meets with a happily married couple after the match, and believe me, they are happily married. Ron Wright says, "Let me tell you something. This man is signed on the dotted line. He's made my trips to the hospital a success. I may have to have open heart surgery, but this man is making it all possible." I don't know when all of a sudden he went from needing hip and knee replacement to now having open heart surgery, but what the fuck? We'll go with it.
Right.
Dirty White Boy says that as long as Mr. Ron Wright is happy, he's happy. Dirty White Boy continues, and he says he's sickened that not one man in the Smoky Mountain wrestling was willing to step up and help such a legend like Ron Wright. Dirty White Boy is happy and that he gets the satisfaction of helping a man and getting access to his deep knowledge that Ron Wright has. Ron Wright then says, "It won't be long now until I have my surgery, and I'll be better off." Doc, what's going through your mind during a promo?
Well, again, it's the satisfaction of paying off an angle that, like you said a minute ago, has been going on for 6 weeks. So that always feels good. I think the Dirty White Boy was really good in his debut match and in this promo. So we've got a new talent that is in the promotion, will be here until the very end of Smoky Mountain. And so we're moving things along.
Yep, I totally agree. So it's good to see that pay off. And again, probably the highlight of the episode.
I agree.
For me. We go to a Bob Holly promo, and the promo starts with Bob Holly holding up and reading a real-life dirt sheet, the National Enquirer, with some of the cheesiest but awesome sunglasses on that you can possibly ever imagine if you're watching along with us. Bob Holly wants to make a statement regarding some recent rumors. Hollywood Bob Holly denies the responsibility for the breakup of Julia Roberts' relationship. Julia Roberts was, very popular back then in the for people who don't know. He denies the rumors of the breakup and insists that he and Julia are just friends. Now, I doubt that Bob Holly knew Julia Roberts at this point, but whatever. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good work. He's not breaking up Julia Roberts' marriage plans. Him and Roberts are just good friends, and you can't believe everything that you read. Doc, you got any thoughts on this one?
I just noted that he called friends, that they're just friends. He called them friends.
Friends. Yeah, that's true. So, there we go. Bob Holly Probo. We got Killer Kyle next, who is up against Jerry Lynn. Doc, yes, it is that Jerry Lynn, ECW Jerry Lynn. Very, yeah, I'll just call him legendary Jerry Lynn, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, he may make a couple other appearances, but he's not, this isn't the start of something for Jerry Lynn. If he's in more episodes than this one, he's not in a lot of them, so.
Yeah, and the match was quick. The match was quick. It was 2 minutes and 39 seconds. Killer Kyle is back with his violin case that Bob Cottle dumbfoundedly feels there's something there. There's something in there, which, of course there is. Why would he bring it out if there wasn't? Oh, Bob. At this point, Killer Kyle's been on a couple times. In a little-known trivia question, for people who were not Smoky Mountain fans and are maybe going back as you know, they're catching up with the episodes that we're doing here, is that Killer Kyle, wasn't he in the very first match against Rock and Roll Robert Gibson,
yeah.
Smoky Mountain? Yeah, so Killer Kyle and Robert Gibson are the very first match. So Killer Kyle was the first in the first televised Smoky Mountain match. Again, we're talking about Jerry Lynn of ECW fame. Lynn is a sensational rookie with a lot of moves, according to Bob Cottle. But at this point, you know, he's just a guy that's here to do a job to Killer Kyle. I love when Dutch told Bob Cottle during this match, don't you start with how quick and fast this Jerry Lynn guy is, Bob. We already know that. it was at this point I really started to realize how often Bob Cottle says the guy is quick and fast, because Dutch is bringing it up.
All right, so in our Smoky Mountain drinking game, every time somebody gets called a hillbilly, you got to drink. And every time Bob Cottle calls somebody quick or fast, you have to take a drink.
Very, very good point. They started to talk about the violin case again. Cottle seems to think there's something fishy in there. Dutch says he knows, but that he's not talking about it. And basically he was alluding to like the fact that it sounded like Dutch was saying that Killer Kyle had told him something, but he wasn't going to incriminate him. So he just left it at that. And that was that. Back to the match. Jerry Lynn ducks a charge and comes off the ropes with an elbow, but Kyle shakes it off and catches him in a Bubba Slam, according to Dutch, or rub out, according to Bob Cottle, and gets the three count.
That made me a little uncomfortable with the rub out.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit too. But anyway, it's a real quick match. The gold, there's a lot of gold on commentary, and the fact that we're in episode 7, and I think this is the first time Killer Kyle is actually getting a pinfall. If my memory serves me correctly, if not, tweet me at @BTT_podcast. We go to a recap. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to keep going. What you got from that match?
I had a note. It's like, so the Killer Kyle gimmick doesn't do a lot for me in 2016, but I bet the East Tennessee people in 1992 were like, what is this dude? He's from New York.
They didn't do nothing from them for them?
No. I think it was probably – he was probably – that would be the best audience to put a guy from Hell's Kitchen, New York in front of in 1992.
Well, it's a good question. I want to hear from our folks who listen to this who grew up watching this territory. What did you think of Killer Kyle? I tweet us @BTT_podcast, or email us at bookingtheterritory@gmail.com, because that is a good question, what they thought of him. I see how they would look at him as a good heel. He doesn't do anything for you in 2016, because you look at the character,
right?
And it's like, man. But in 1992, what did that Tennessee, you know, crowd think of him? So I'd love to know that.
The other thing that I thought in this match, Dutch made a great point, and it was very subtle, I thought, but very important. He says Orndorff and Gordy and Dirty White Boy, they all say they can't be beat, but if we're going to have a champion, somebody's got to get beat. And I thought it just put it out there that we got a lot of guys in this territory that are all capable, but there can only be one champ.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. Because you're right. Somebody's, you can only have one. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have a lot of people that are over.
Right.
But you can only have one guy who's running around with the belt.
That's right.
Very true. We go to a recap from the previous week when Terry Gordy defeated Tommy Angel with a powerbomb, showing off Gordy's power. And then we get a Gordy promo. Cottle says, we just got a recap of the type of devastation that this man can wreak on an opponent. Terry, the heavyweight championship tournament is coming up soon, but the guys here say that they can't be beat. And this kind of, you know, going back to the point you just made about what Dutch said, Gordy in response to Cottle says, let me ask you this. And this is a good promo. Mm-hmm. You know this business inside and out. So who do you have your money on? Cottle says, I wouldn't bet against you, Terry. And Terry says, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. When I get in the ring, we're going to see who will stand and who will fall. Gordy repeats, the bombs will be falling, that he will win the heavyweight title tournament because he is the big bomber of them all. So he kind of ties it back into the whole bombs will be falling, which we kind of looked at on, you know, the first episode and when that ran, like, what the hell is he talking about? But he ties it in together,
I had a couple things here. You missed something he said. He said, it's like I always say, united we stand, divided. I was like, I've never heard him say that before. I guess you didn't get that.
No, I didn't get it, but whatever.
While he's saying, like, he's going to get the belt, if there's a belt here to be had, it's going to be his. They cut to the crowd, and the crowd's cheering him.
Oh, he's Terry Gordy.
He's supposed to be a heel.
Well, okay.
I just thought that was interesting that he had, you know.
That goes to show you back then, though, you kind of, even though people were made to be heels, and faces, like that's how they were booked, the crowd still could dictate who was the heel and who was the face.
Yeah.
Because it's a myth that back then the crowd would always cheer the baby face, the good old boy who didn't cheat, and they, you know, they would boo the heel. It's a myth that that's how it always would happen. I mean, this is 92 and look what's going on.
Yeah.
Like then again, Austin, you know, 5 years later, is the meanest guy on the planet, and he's the most over baby face there is. So, but whatever. All right, let's get back to the episode. We go to a recap of Tim Horner, who kicked out the chair from Rip Rogers as he was doing his free squats. And again, the key word to insulting the good people in the Smoking Mountain area is to call them hillbillies. God, everybody uses the term hillbilly. So we have a Rip Rogers promo here where he says, Tim Horner, you tobacco-chewing hillbilly, you owe me $500. Rip has issued a $5,000 challenge to Tim Horner for a match this week, and Tim Horner has accepted. This is in response to Tim Horner kicking out the chair on the previous week's episode from what we had just saw in the recap. Rip says, I'm going to take it out of you, out on your dirty tobacco redneck hillbilly smoking hide. Wow. Dirty tobacco, redneck, hillbilly, smoking hide. And then we go to the match. So, Doc, do you have any thoughts from Rip Rogers? Because he strung a lot of insults together in one word.
Rip Rogers must have been a real tough guy to deal with and an independent thinker in the locker room. Because otherwise, it makes it real hard for me to understand why he didn't get bigger pushes in places he was at.
Rip sounds like on Twitter and just from everything I've heard about him, he is a great worker, a great talent. He politically, I would bet, having never met him, he just told you like it was. And if he didn't like you, he basically was like, fuck you. And maybe that worked against him.
Yeah.
As you say that. Because Rip is talented. I mean, you watch him in the ring. He's unreal. He bumps. He sells. His promos are good. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you wonder, like, why this guy never got a better deal anywhere. Now, he's still cutting promos. He's on Twitter cutting promos. If anybody follows him, they know exactly what I'm talking about. He cuts promos every day. That's Rip, though. That's Rip. We go to the match. We got Tim Horner against Rip Rogers. It's kind of a long match by Smoky Mountain standards at this point. 7 minutes and 8 seconds. Horner comes out. He hugs the old lady who's been at all the shows so far. At least I think so. Dutch makes a valid point. Says Rogers still lasted 59 minutes and 30 seconds in last week's challenge. So from now on, all he has to do is drag out any match, the 20-minute mark or so, and he's pretty much unbeatable. There's lots of just wrestling here. Rogers gets aggressive with a turnbuckle shot. He tosses Horner out to the floor. Then he comes off the top rope with an axe handle. When Rip does that axe handle on the top floor, I still think it's great and gets over, I mean, with the fans each time. There's a spot where Rip tries to suplex Tim off the apron and back onto the floor, but Horner counters it and brings him back inside the ring. He then sends Rip out to the floor, and he meets him out there with a dive through the ropes, which was not at all common back then, I don't believe. And I was impressed with that move. And, you know, we've been kind of hard on Horner, but I was impressed with that, what he did right there with that spot.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, it was better than his finishing move.
Well, there's a point of note about that. They fight back inside and they collide awkwardly. I think they were both going for a leapfrog, if you know the spot I'm talking about, and it was a botch, but give them credit. They both took a bump and recovered well. Horner gets a sudden win with a sunset flip. I'm just eternally grateful we weren't graced with the Horner Bridge for the win. Beyond the match here, we have a couple of good zingers from Dutch. He said the women in the building look like biker women, and he doesn't mean it as a compliment. Or he says, some of these women are so ugly, they couldn't make the biker magazine. So, I said that wrong the first time, but basically
what he said, let me help you out as a relief pitcher, is that he called this old woman a bag and then said the women are so ugly here they wouldn't even make it in the biker magazines.
Then he says he transitions to – they start talking about the main event for next week with the Fantastics, the Fultons, you know, Bobby and Jackie Fulton in their return to Smoky Mountain. And Dutch says, I hope those Fantastics don't bring back any Oriental diseases. Mm. Like, fuck me. You couldn't say that nowadays. Mm. Yeah. Any thoughts on the match before we get to the promo?
You know, it's again, I think, in my opinion, Rip Rogers is drawing out the best from Tim Horner.
Oh, if you look at the first couple matches Horner's had, Rip Rogers is just, he made the guy a star in that match, and he put him over.
Mm-hmm.
Clean.
Mm-hmm. With a sunset flip.
With a sunset flip where Rip held on to the ropes for as long as he could hold on, and then he fucking, you know, fell backwards and got the pin. Rip Rogers. I am going to reach out to Rip, Doc. We're gonna try to get Rip. You know, he's foul-mouthed like you and I, so I'd look forward to actually talking to him.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So we go to Bullet Bob Armstrong again. And Bullet Bob Armstrong is here, and he's cutting a promo. He says, let me get this straight, brother. Who does this Jimmy Cornette think he is to bring in a team and not tell anyone their name? Bullet Bob declares Cornette has to declare who Cornette's team will be. He says Cornette can't just bring in a team without saying who it is. Cornette comes out and he calls Armstrong Mr. Stick Your Nose and everyone else's business. And he says he's trying to do him and save the tournament so that everyone doesn't drop out of the tournament. As you may recall, Cornette has continuously said if he were to tell everyone who would be in the tournament, everyone else would quit. Cornette says, but you know what, Mr. Armstrong, I'm feeling charitable. So next week on TV, I will have a video of my brand new tag team that will be champions, and you will see you shouldn't have meddled in our business. Cornette then like ifs and flinches at Armstrong, and Bullet Bob looks like he's ready to bust some ass in those polyester pants, starch white short sleeve shirt, and big pin with his clip on tie. Now keep in mind, Bullet Bob, I think he's had the same fit on for the last 3 weeks, so there was no continuity of changing outfits from Bullet Bob. He's like, fuck it, I'm going with the same fit. Doc, you get any thoughts on this promo? Because I loved it.
No, I thought it was a great promo. Again, Corny is, they're trying to, you know, slowly advance that angle.
And that's a note that I have here as we're talking about this week's episode before we wrap things up. The thing is, this is a wrap for the March 14, 1992 episode of Smoky Mountain. But I love the end of it because Cornette teases us with something simple with how he'll be showing a clip of who his tag team will be next week. You know, a lot of people who are older than younger than us, they just don't get it. And it's not against them. It's just that they weren't around during that time and they can't help themselves. But that's what made territory wrestling so great, because week to week, you only had that 1 hour to fill and you could tease things and do a slow burn. Keep in mind, this is week 7 of episode 7, and Cornette has been talking about this team since either week 1 or 2. So we're damn near 2 months into this shit, almost 2 full months later, and we're finally about to find out who this team is. You know, in today's wrestling environment, they would have announced it again at 7:15 on Raw, and by 9:45 you would have knew this, the surprise answer. Am I joking? Am I lying?
No, I think you probably did hit it all right there. I agree. That's why we're doing this show. And
that's why we call it Booking the Territory, because we miss the territories. Flat out. So I don't know, Doc. What you got, any clothes before I hit the plugs and everything for this week and we send it over to our to our promos from this week? You got anything you want to add?
Well, is this where I'm going to dole out some government cheese on the disability checks?
Yeah, what you got on?
Well,
on the,
in my opinion, this is the best episode yet.
You're saying that because of Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy.
I thought that was a really good thing, a really good part of advancing an angle. And we get the debut of a very main character to the story of Smoky Mountain and Dirty White Boy. He will be a central figure for many of the next. Well, for the entire run of the territory. So with that and the idea that we are heading towards some title tournaments, and that's going to get things more serious, I'm going to hand out 6.25 disability checks, which I believe is my highest score yet.
I'm going with the same as last week. I'll give it a 7.5.
I like
what they did. I like the you know, they're building with Jimmy Gold and the Koloffs to the Fantastics on next week. And I actually haven't even watched episode – I watched episode 8. It's been a while, though, so I can't even remember what happens.
Well, I can tell you that episode 8, I believe, is out of this building. Or not out, maybe out of this building, but out of this room and in a different part of the complex. And I believe it is in the Knoxville Civic Center studio. So hopefully that'll provide a little bit better ambiance for the background, because these angles are picking up, the episodes are getting better, and we're starting to get knee deep in some shit, you know.
I hear you. I got to give it a 7.5, and I'm looking forward to episode number 8 next week. Should be a fun time. Does the tournament start? The tournament starts next week. No, the tournament starts in 2 weeks, right?
Something like that.
I can't remember it. Yeah, it's.
I can't keep all this straight. We're doing this in the future, but these people are just listening to it today, and it's still hot outside when we record this. I don't know.
Still hot outside. You're not kidding about that.
If they didn't make Bob Armstrong change his pants and shirt between episodes at the taping, why are you trying to make me keep this shit?
It just hit me actually as I was closing out the episode. I'm like, Bullet Bob came out with the same polyester pants and star white shirt with his big pins. They couldn't even give the man some good pins, man. He got some cheap old big ballpoint pins in his pocket, man. I know you, Ron Wright. I know what you can do. You cripple, man, and you maim them before they even get their start. I can't believe you, but Mr. Armstrong treat a whole cripple old man like me. Anyway, again, folks, we appreciate you checking out the episode. Subscribe to us however you get your podcast, whether that's Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. We would appreciate some 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We thank you for checking out again this week's episode. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast and let us know what you think as you send us your tweets or if you tweet us. Check out our Amazon referral link at mikemills.podbean.com. And check out our PayPal donation link is there as well. It's also in the show notes of the show. With the Amazon referral link, always forget, not that I always forget, but please use it, because if you're purchasing something on Amazon, you're not going to spend any more money, but we will get a little small kickback on the show. We definitely would appreciate it. And lastly, if you really want to support the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast that we do. Click the Shop Now button on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. It'll bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. Got a couple of designs up. Pick up your very own Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast T-shirt, and that would be that's the best way you can support this show. And then when you do so, take a picture when you get your shirt. Tweet it to us @BTT_podcast. Doc, I think that's going to put a wrap on this week's episode. We will have to catch the fans next week. You got anything else before I say book it and get us over to the promos?
Just a quick, hey, we've been saying for a while that this is going to start picking up, and it's starting to pick up. So I hope you're enjoying it because it's going to keep getting better.
It does keep getting better. I think it was actually Brian Lass who mentioned 92, especially towards the end of 92, midway to the end, how it starts getting really, really good. When we had him on the show. And let's not forget, this winter, we got Jim Cornette coming up on the show at some point. We don't know when, but hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. So for Mike and Doc in our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast review show, which was episode 7 that took place from the Knoxville Civic Coliseum on and aired on March 14th, 1992. You know, we always say before we get out of here and before we throw it over to the promos from this week's episode, book it.
Wait a minute. I got something else to say to you.
All right, what?
I just been sitting here thinking about it. That Commissioner Bob Armstrong is sure trying to take things in his own hands. I think just a little bit too much. Last week here, he physically assaulted Mr. Wright.
He physically assaulted him and
escorted him out the door.
He didn't physically assault him,
Does he know he has a bad hip, a bad knee, and when you jerk somebody around in a wheelchair, you make
He just rolled him out very gently. He rolled him out very gently.
He rolled him out very roughly.
That's nonsense. I tell you what, we'll see a tape of that later on. And by the way, don't forget, Mr. Ron Wright said, look at that move by Guerrero. Mr. Ron Wright says that he's got a special surprise for us during this hour. Hey, I'm anxious to find out what that is.
I believe that Mr. Wright, he's a man of his word. He's a Christian man, and I believe if he says he's going to have a surprise, I believe he'll have not only a surprise, but a good one, a good surprise.
It's going to be a surprise. I don't know how good it's going to be, Guerrero. Dutch, you mentioned Nitro Danny Davis. Let's see what his plans are for Smoky Mountain Wrestling right here.
You know, most of you wrestling fans know me already. But for those of you who don't, you're going to get to know me very well, very soon. You know, I'm not as big as most of the wrestlers you're used to seeing, but just like a bottle of nitroglycerin, you get too close to me, you shake me real good, and Nitro will explode all over you. And that's just what Nitro Danny Davis is all about. I like to be exciting, and when things happen, it goes my way, that's good. Just like I've always said, when I step in the ring with my opponents, it's always been good for me and bad for you.
So fans, the Fantastics are back from Japan, and they're ready for their six-man tag team bout with the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden right here next week. Earlier today, they had these comments about that match. Let's hear them.
Well, the contract has finally been signed. We're going to get a second chance at Ivan Koloff, Vladimir Koloff, and Jimmy Golden, and we're going to make sure we make that chance count.
Well, let me tell you something, Jackie. Things are laying just right in line like we said.
Let me tell you something, Ivan and Vladimir and Jimmy Golden. This particular six-man partner we got, you know him well. And let me tell you something. He's going to scare the living daylights out of you. Who is it? Well, we're not going to tell you at this point. You're going to have to step in the ring next week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling to find out who he is.
All right, fans, you just saw these three in action in a ring next week. It's going to be fantastic. And their surprise partner right here,
Jimmy. Let me tell you something about them Fantastics. They ain't never beat nobody. Have you ever in all your born days seen such a trio right here, brother? There's not three men alive on this earth today that can beat us, especially you Fantastics. I don't care if you got yourself a mystery partner. You shut your mouth over and listen a minute. You get them Fantastics in the ring with the Koloffs and the Golden, brother, and it's going to be a bad day for you Fantastics. You're going to be mud, boys. You come on down. We're waiting on you.
Fans, that'll be right here next week, and we'll be back right after this. Fans, as we saw last week, Commissioner Bob Armstrong made the decision to ban Ron Wright from ringside because of his interference in the matches. It didn't sit too well with Mr. Wright, so right now let's go back and take a look at what happened.
It. But you know, Ron Wright has got a manager's license, so my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. But he's got no right to come down to the ring when either man in the ring is not under contract to Ron Wright. So for that, I'm telling Ron Wright right now, I am banning you from the ringside, brother. Unless you get a contract with somebody, I want you to stay away from the ring. It's not fair to the wrestlers. If you're wrestling somebody, you have to look at him. You don't want to be looking at Ron Wright. It's not fair to the fans who are watching for Ron Wright to pull something and try to, missing some of the action in the ring. Yeah. So from now on, he is barred, Bob, and I do mean that.
Well, he can't. Wait a minute. Here is Mr. Ron Wright. And you heard that from the commissioner, I take it.
Listen, I'm hearing what you're saying, Mr. I can't believe that you'd come down here and try to mistreat a poor old crippled old man like me. You know, I've been one of the most finest upstanding gentlemen wrestlers in my life. I've never harmed a man in my life in that ring. Here, I've got a bad hip, and I'm just trying to...
Just a minute, brother. You've gone to... I ain't going to buy that garbage. Maybe some people you can feed that malarkey to, but you forget I know you, Ron Wright. I've been around you for more than 20 years. I've seen you wrestle. I've seen you take guys that are trying to get a start in this business and cripple them and mash them and maim them so bad that they couldn't even walk right. I got a scar in my head right now, and a knot on it that I'll have till the day I die. So you ain't fooling me. Now, I said that you're the rottenest, low-down, meanest wrestler that's ever been in the ring. And unless you get a contract with somebody, I said you're barred from this, and you are barred right now. You keep your manager's license, but keep your butt away from that ring.
Let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. If
you
I
ain't telling me nothing.
Man, I was. I'd get up. If I had somebody to pick me up out of this.
Oh, fans. Hey, there goes Mr. Ron Wright, fans. Fans, here is Mr. Ron Wright, and last week you had a confrontation with Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
Let me tell you something. It was a disgrace, the worst disgrace I've ever seen in my life. Bob Armstrong coming out here and trying to assault a crippled man like I am sitting here in a wheelchair. I thought he was a better man than that. But let me tell you something, Mr. Caudill. It'll take a smarter man than Bob Armstrong to outsmart the smartest man in the wrestling business. I've got a man that's coming out here to wrestle that I've got under contract. I'm going to take him down there at the ring and show these people what wrestling and managing is all about. Now, you just keep your eyes on it, brother.
All righty, fans. We'll find out who that is a little later. Right now, let's take this time out. Hey, all right, wait a minute. Ron Wright has called the ring announcer over. He's giving him a piece of paper up there in the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ron Wright has just given me a signed contract. And he is the manager of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And he wants me to announce his newly signed wrestler. Weighing in at 248 pounds from Bucksport, Tennessee, the Dirty White Boy.
Harry. The Dirty White Boy. Harry the World and Ron Wright pull off a coup like this. There he is. Believing it, Dutch.
Well, are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I don't think he could have picked a better man than the Dirty White Boy, native Tennessean.
Man, he's one of the toughest men on the mat anywhere, the Dirty White Boy. What a coup for Ron Wright. You talking about, I am not only surprised, I am shocked. Well, he's a real brawler, a street fighter. He's got one of the hardest right crosses this side of Mike Tyson. All right, fans, and here they are right now, the Dirty White Boy, Mr. Ron Wright. I got to say, that's a real coup. What a surprise you pulled on everybody.
Let me tell you something. This man right here is signed on the dotted line. He's made my trip going to the hospital for this hip plant in surgery a success. I may even have to have open heart surgery, but this man right here is making it possible. Thank you, mister. He's got a few words he needs to say.
All right.
You know the thing about it? If Mr. Ron Wright's happy, the White Boy's happy. Now, a lot of people may not know who I may be, but you're looking at the original Dirty White Boy. As a lot of people says, they're the Dirty White Boy. But believe you me, there's only one. And another thing, Mr. Wright, I can't believe that of all these wrestlers, not one man would step up to help such a great legend such as yourself. I've watched this man for many, many years. Keep it down. I've watched this man for many, many years. And I'll tell you one thing. With my ability and this man's knowledge right here, I can't be beat. There's no way on the face of God's green earth one man can beat me. Are you ready to go, Mr. Wright?
We're ready to go, and I'll be out of this wheelchair in no time after this surgery, and the wrestling world will be turned upside down.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's trouble for a lot of wrestling fans. We'll be back.
Fans, before we get back to the action, Hollywood Bob Holly, he wanted to make a statement to clear up some rumors. So right now, let's find out what he had to say about it.
You know, I was just reading in this week's National Enquirer magazine about Julia Roberts and myself. You know, there's a few things I'd like to clear up about this. No, I did not break up Julia Roberts' wedding plans. And no, I am not flying to Hawaii to marry Julia Roberts. The bottom line is, Julia Roberts and myself are just good friends. And you cannot believe everything that you read.
Well, we just got to look at the devastation this man can wreak on an opponent right here. Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Terry, that heavyweight championship tournament coming up very soon. But a lot of guys are around now saying they can't be beat.
Hey, you know, let me ask you this. You're a man that's been around a long time, and you know this business inside and out. Who do you have your money on?
I wouldn't bet against you. Let me put it that way,
Terry. Well, you'd be a fool to. Let me tell you that right now, because, you know, like I always said, united we stand and divided we fall. And when I get in the ring, we're going to see who's going to stand. And there's going to be a lot of people that's going to fall. Like I said before, I don't think there's a man that can beat me, and I can't be beat. And you know, that's right. I said it. And I'll back it up. I'm the man that can back it up. You know, like I said, there's going to be bombs dropping everywhere because I am the big bomber of them all.
Tim Horner, you tobacco-chewing hillbilly, you owe me $500. You owe me 1,000 rolls of 50-cent pennies because I did what I said I was going to do. I performed free squats, the marathon me, man me, Hustler Rip Riders, one complete hour on television, and everybody saw it. But to make up for it, on today's main event, I'm going to take $5,000 out of your dirty, tobacco, redneck, hillbilly smoking hide.
You know, Bob, Mr. Bob Armstrong,
there's one thing I want to get straight. Who does Jimmy Cornette think he is to bring in a team and not tell anybody their names? As far as I'm concerned, before he enters a team in this, starting next week on this TV, before he enters a team in this tournament, I'm going to know who they are.
All right, and here is Jim Cornette.
Mr. Stick your nose in somebody else's business, Armstrong. I told you I'm trying to save your tournament. I don't want anybody to know who my team is because they'll all be scared. They'll run away just like these redneck hillbillies. But I tell you what, I'm a charitable kind of guy. Next week right here on television, I will have a video of my brand new tag team, the team that's going to be the champions. Right here next week on TV, I'll have a video just so you see that you should have left well enough alone and not meddled in somebody else's business.
I believe it when I see it.
All right, fans, we'll look forward to that next week. And also next week, don't forget our big main event, the Koloffs and Jimmy Golden against the Fantastics and their mystery partner. We'll see you then next week, fans.